It's time for Fish Facts, Stevie.
Welcome to Fish Casting, the fishing podcast. I'm your host, Tanner, of Fish Facts TV.
Hey, Tanner, and I am Captain Tim.
All right, guys, welcome to 2023. This is our first episode of the new year. It has been a little while over the holidays where we weren't able to join. I got a sweet new microphone for Christmas and some other nice fishing tackle that I've gotten to test out. So looking forward to telling you about how some of those testing trips went. Tim, what about you? Did you get to do any fishing over your holiday break?
Yeah, I did do quite a bit of fishing. Had our annual family pilgrimage to Homosassa Springs. Got to talk a lot about that and different styles of fishing there. And might I say, Tanner, you sound crystal clear this evening. So I'm loving the new setup.
All right. Yeah, I might start posting the videos, at least post one or two to kind of see what our traction looks like. I know none of the other ones really got too much carry on YouTube, but I like YouTube and the fact that they're permanent. Whereas Buzzsprout, the website I use for hosting, I have to keep paying them. And, you know, I want them to all stay up there, but it is like $12 a month, which is not nothing. Whereas YouTube is free. So that is why I'm tempted to start doing YouTube. But then you have to look at our ugly faces the whole time, which is obviously the drawback of YouTube.
Absolutely. I got the face for radio. So, you know, maybe I'll have to put a shirt on from here on out.
All right, Tim. Well, I'm going to start out with one of my three ventures. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, let's go, man. I know we both did a lot of fishing, so let's dive in.
All right. I'm going to start out with my offshore kayaking. So all my trips this time were kayaking. I haven't got a chance to get out on the boat, but due to weather, work concerns, I've gotten a lot of opportunities to get out on the kayak. This past weekend, we were spending a lot of time at the beach. So I had family in town for the new year, and you know they're from areas where there's not a beach. So they really wanted to spend time at the beach. So I have this kayak, and I only had taken it to the beach one other time. But I knew this spot that I got where I'd gotten mangroves before, I'd gotten some lanes before, and it's just 150, 200 yards off the beach. It's just a rock pile, and it's a publicly created reef. It's on all the charts as, you know, basically a publicly natural or man-made rock pile to help like divers, maybe coral growth, etc. So actually, stop. Before we get into that, the first day one of my four consecutive beach trips, we got there too late in the afternoon to get the kayak. So I threw the cast net a couple times. I think I've said before, you're really not supposed to fish on South Beach, but they let you once the lifeguards leave. I caught about a 4-inch whiting and a 4-inch glass nose or thread fin as soon as we got to the beach. Threw them in the bucket and just kind of waited until it was just about sunset. As soon as the lifeguards packed it up for the day, I threw one of the glass nose on a free line I had rigged up from the other day, 20-pound leader and a 1/0 circle hook, just threw it in the slough in about 2.5 feet of water, fished for maybe 6 minutes, bam. Ended up with about a 26, 27-inch snook. Right in the surf, fought pretty hard, ran me down the surf. This is on my 15-pound braid. Just as we've discussed before, beach snook is really one of peak fishing for me. So just getting that so unexpectedly, I really didn't even, I brought my cast net, I brought that one rod. I just left what I already had rigged on it. I didn't even bring any extra hooks or leader, literally just the leader and the hook that were already rigged up on the rod. Probably my third cast, just, you know, changing depths and just slam a bam, beautiful snook.
Yeah, that's a pretty good start, man. You know, especially a bonus snook or a surprise snook. You usually don't get the snook, or I don't really know your side of the world over there. Do you usually catch them this time of year?
You know, I think they're on the beach year round, and it's just hard to know when or where the concentrations are going to be. You know, all summer I was out there, didn't catch any. I've caught some in the spring. It really is seems hard for me to exactly put my finger on exactly when they are on the beach. But we saw another one the next day. So I don't know in how heavy in numbers they're on the beach, but there's at least a few of them. It's not like the mullet run where a couple times I'm seeing 15 or so schooled up, but you know, we did see one on at least two occasions, and we sat on the beach for quite a while.
Yeah, that's that's pretty cool, and the fact that, you know, it's obviously one of your favorite fish to catch and that style of fishing, you know, not a bad start to that day.
Yeah, so the next morning we came back. These beaches in here in Miami, the parking is always ridiculous. So we got there nice and early, and I got out there, got the kayak launched. And I got 4 dozen shrimp. All the shrimp were just beautiful, large shrimp. The first thing I wanted to try to do was drift and see if I could get any pompano or permit right in that sandy zone, right away from where the swimmers were. I tried it and I didn't have any luck. So I went a little further out to those rock piles where I fished before, and they were pretty instantly on fire. Started out catching muttons and lanes left and right. You know, most of the fish were between about 8 and 14 inches, but the muttons and the lanes were between 8 and 14 inches. So, you know, a 14 inch mutton is a little disappointing, but a 14 inch lane is a nice fish. So I got several really nice lanes, a couple undersized mangroves, you know, probably 10 undersized muttons. So there was a lot of muttons. And then just as the bite started to slow down, the school of yellowjack rolled up and ended up pulling out 2 nice yellowjacks.
Oh, that sounds pretty good. Those are nice lanes. And, you know, having the bonus yellowjack there. Now, I know we've talked about yellowjack back and forth and, you know, how a lot of people eat them and they're really good table fare. Were you able to take any of those home, or was it just strictly catch and release and have a little fun on light tackle?
Yeah, strictly catch and release. Yeah, using my 15-pound test, just letting everything go. But, you know, family was in town. We had dinner plans every night. But this weekend, we're actually planning to do the same thing. I'm hoping to take my brother-in-law out there. And my sister and my brother-in-law are big fish fans. So if we can find any this weekend, they might not be as lucky as the ones we caught last weekend.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, you've mentioned you've been out there before, but you remarked on how nice the lane snapper were this time. Do you think it had anything to do with the weather? I know we had a pretty crazy cold snap here right around Christmas. Did that do something, do you think, or was it just right place, right time overall?
You know, I honestly, so I actually did another day. So 2 out of 3 days, I did that same trip and almost the exact same. The second day I caught it was a little bit fewer lanes, but I caught a couple bigger lanes, a fewer mutton, bigger yellow jacks. And I had something huge cut me off in the wreck after putting on quite a fight. So I don't know, maybe it was a bigger mutton or a grouper. I don't know what would have pulled me into the rock pile like that. You know, I thought about jumping out of the boat, but my anchor ended up getting stuck down there. But I think lanes are one of the most difficult fish for me to really get a pulse on of what defines a lane snapper habitat. You know, I've caught them off Miami in 250 feet. I've caught them off Miami in the Bay. I've catched them in Miami in places like this, but in the actual coral reef, I have never ever caught even one. So they're a really difficult fish for me to get a pulse on. I think maybe it's just because the yellowtails and the mangroves are so prevalent in that 40 to 80 foot lane, like 40 to 80 foot band of, you know, it for some reason pushes the lanes deeper and shallower. But they're a pretty diverse fish that can live in a lot of different habitats. And I do really enjoy catching them.
No, for sure. And you know, I agree with you about trying to figure out exactly where the lanes are and what makes good habitat for them. You know, it's funny because like week to week, month to month, I'll go in certain depths, you know, whether it's 70, 80 feet on live bottom or hard bottom and just catch a ton of lanes, and then literally a week, 10 days later, you won't catch one there, you know, and it'll be all red grouper or whatever it may be. They're just funny. I definitely think they migrate to a certain degree or move around. I don't know what keeps them in certain places, whether it's bait or structure or what, but I've caught them on barren sandy bottom with nothing around, and I've caught them you know, on big, beautiful, crunchy live bottom. So it's they're an odd fish, but I like catching them, and you know, I will continue to search for them.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think two or three of these are probably the biggest lanes I've ever caught in my life. You know, I've seen big lanes in Miami, and I think I've caught big lanes in Tallahassee, but I don't think I've ever caught, or I mean, up in Jacksonville, I've seen them as well, but I don't think I've ever caught them. I think these were actually the biggest lanes. I mean, this, the one of them I caught the second trip was just a really, really large fish.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely nice. I always take note of a good lane spot, and you know, they're a pretty fish that, you know, when they get that big, they kind of lose a lot of their cool markings. They kind of not become ugly, but they definitely don't look quite as pretty as the young ones. But I still do like a good lane snapper story, that's for sure.
All right. And the last trip I did on the kayak, we went to a different beach where there aren't those rock piles. Those rock piles are really only at South Beach. And the other beach had some rock piles. I did manage to get some lanes. It's called Haulover Beach, but I wouldn't recommend it. It's right near an inlet, and the boat traffic was just out of control, especially when I was in this little kayak. I was dropping. I ended up catching four or five lanes and about 9 or 10 blue runners, but it didn't have the action, at least close to shore. And, you know, 50 yards off from where I was, it looked like the bottom was a little better, but I really was just scared of all these morons on yachts just zipping by. So I decided to stay in shallow water where the fishing probably wasn't as good.
Yeah, I don't blame you there. Being on a kayak and Oliver, you know, I've seen some interesting videos from that part of the world, in that area, where it's just absolute madness on the water. So you're pretty brave going out there on a, you know, around the holidays with all the yahoos out there. But, you know, it stinks that it potentially cut down on your productivity, but I think safety is the more important factor here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, all right, Tim, let's hear the first part of your trip.
Yeah. So we do a family trip to Homosassa Springs, Florida, really twice a year. We go for scallop season in July, and then we go up to ring in the New Year's in between Christmas and New Year's. So this is something that I've been doing with my family since before I was born, really. You know, they've been doing this for over 40 years. So, you know, we kind of have it down. You know what I mean? Like we have a good handle on what the fishing's going to be like generally, where the fish are, where they're biting. As I mentioned, when you were telling your story, we had some pretty wild cold snaps right before we got there. So I think Christmas Day and the day after, the water temp and the little estuaries, you know, outside of the main Homosassa River got into the 40s, people were saying. So really, really cold water. There was some stunned fish from the cold. But I'm kind of setting the stage here, just kind of explaining what's going on. I'll probably get in a little more in-depth with my next segment when we talk more about fishing. But the Homosassa River is a spring-fed river that leads out to the Gulf of Mexico. So the spring water coming out of the ground is at 72 degrees. So we have hundreds of manatees that when the water in the Gulf gets cold, they seek that warmth and they head upriver to the freshwater spring. The freshwater spring is crystal clear and it will hold manatees, snook, tarpon, trout, redfish, snapper, big jacks, black bass, so largemouth bass, big gar. I mean, really anything under the sun. So it's this really cool environment where it's completely fresh, but you have all of these different saltwater fish kind of also following the manatee, seeking that warmth, and they can actually survive in there. Some of these fish I'm fairly certain live there all year round, even though they're saltwater fish. So pretty cool stuff. The best fishing areas in the river, in my opinion, are all the way up at the Springhead, which is kind of partitioned off for manatees, and you're not allowed to enter that area. But you can fish on the fringes, kind of on the outside of the barrier zone, as long as you're not, purposefully throwing into the barrier zone or impacting the manatees. It's perfectly legal to fish there. So that's where we usually set up. We kind of have a really good technique where we anchor pretty much as close as you can get to the barrier zone, because that's where all the fish are generally. And then we kind of fan out cast, and we probably had 12 rods, all soaking shrimp out there. And each day got a little progressively worse, actually, because the water warmed up, the Gulf water warmed up because we were having warmer temperatures. But the first couple of days was just an onslaught of really nice mangrove snapper, a lot of nice snook, perfect, really nice, 20-inch black drum that are a lot of fun on light tackle, big jack crevalle. And it was just a heck of a time. We fished up there in the spring just like that for the 4 days we were there. I think we probably caught, I don't even know how many snapper, Tanner. I mean, each night we were pretty much bringing home a limit of snapper for the boat, or just less. Snapper in the 12 to 15 inch range. These are mangroves. And we caught some of those black drum I was telling you about. And my favorite part, and I'll kind of dive in a little bit more in depth because I have some other stuff to talk about later, is right when the sun is going down and it's not quite set completely, all the snook and the jacks and the big fish, they kind of come out of that zone that I was telling you about where the manatees have safe harborage, and they start feeding. So they all come out and they start feeding. So we switch from throwing little shrimp for mangrove snapper and the stray drum species to throwing big hard bait, so like Rapala X wraps. And we're throwing these out, making the longest cast possible, and just working them whatever way works best, and you don't know what you're going to hook into. We caught anything from 20-inch snook, 25-inch redfish, all the way up to a 38 and a half inch snook doing this. So really big fish. My nephew, who's almost 10, he's catching snook. My brother, he's catching snook. My wife, everybody. It's just one of those really special spots that holds a soft spot in my heart for Homosassa Springs. Been going up there. We've really kind of gotten the routine together. And this year, I'd say, was probably one of our better years for snook. We usually catch a handful, but we caught a ton of them this year. So banner year for snook. And I don't blame the cold snap. We were fortunate to have that cold snap. I think that really fired them up and got those snook piled in there like cordwood. So appreciative of that really cold weekend we had.
When you say a ton of snook, what are we talking? 10, 20, 30?
Really, my brother and I were the only ones fishing for them at that in that way. I think combined over 4 nights, we caught probably a total of 20 snook doing that, and that's just that style of fishing. We also did some dock bite fishing, which I'll talk about docks in a little bit, how we fish those and how we did with that. But yeah, probably about 20 snook between the two of us. So and like I said, averaging in size, probably the smaller size was about 20 inches all the way up to that 38 incher, which my brother caught. So that was really cool to see him pull that guy in. But lots of snook, lots of mangrove snapper. We ate fish constantly. I just stopped eating fish because we brought so much of it home. But yeah, man, really good times up there.
Yeah, that sounds really awesome. It sounds like my kind of fishing. 38-inch snook. I still think that's probably bigger than I've ever caught one. So I'm a little bit jealous of that. But it sounds like you guys had a really, really awesome trip. And did you get any jacks? You said you were casting for them.
Yeah, we were getting into them. When it comes to, you're throwing out there and it's getting dark now, right? And you're doing these long casts and you're jigging these Rapala X wraps, which are a hard lipped or lipless jerk bait. And you don't know what's going to hit it because there's jacks out there, there's redfish out there, and there's snook. So you don't know what's going to hit it. So every time you can get a big blow up, or one hits it hard. You're like, oh, heck yeah. And it's a jack. You're like, oh, darn. Cause you want it to be that monster snook, but the jacks are still a heck of a lot of fun. We had, you know, everyone from my mother-in-law, who's, you know, almost 80, to my niece and nephew, who are single digits, catching fish. So really good family time. And, you know, there's also all those manatees I told you about. So all the kids and adults alike had a great time snorkeling with the manatees. The water's crystal clear. And, you know, it's a heck of a time.
That's really awesome, Tim. It's actually kind of reminds me, we have a we don't know exactly what the source of the water is, but it's, we believe it is a natural spring right near my neighborhood. And during that cold snap, we went over there, and sure enough, we counted 10 manatees and a crocodile just sitting
really?
Right in that that warmer spring water right after that cold snap. So it was cool. I actually saw some of the smallest manatees I'd ever seen, some little babies, but just to see 10 right in the neighborhood canal, even if it is, you know, a little bit of a spring fed part of that neighborhood canal.
No, that's really cool. And to have that many 10 back in that little canal, that's pretty remarkable. And, you know, I guess it puts it in perspective. That's why hundreds, you know, we got this big Homosassa River that's spring fed. That's how, you know, hundreds can find this place. And, I'd probably say with that cold snap, it was probably, I think I saw more manatees this year than probably the last 10 or 15 years. So really good to see all those guys up there. I'm glad they have a spot to go to keep warm. And, you know, they're kind of a lovable ugliness to them. You know, they're kind of so goofy and ugly. They're cute. So it was cool to see them. And, you know, I like the fact that we have the opportunity to do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, I'll take that. I have two other little kayak trips. Not as maybe eventful, but not too bad. So I actually went yesterday and fished one of the canals it's not really a canal. It's a natural like mangrove creek. I used to fish it a lot and catch a little snapper, but I decided to go, you know, I had the morning off of work and I wanted to just bring lures, and throw lures and see what I could get. Not the best day. Ended up with 2 jacks. I took it all the way out to the bay. So that was kind of cool. It was a part of Biscayne Bay I'd never really fished before. I was kind of hoping to find a pompano, or not a pompano, a permit or a bonefish, on the flats right there. Didn't really see too much on the flats, but it was a little bit windy. It was a little bit choppy. So I did get those 2 jacks. And then right on my way back in, right at the mouth where the creek comes out into the bay, I was making a couple casts, and sure enough, I did get a snook. Not a huge one, you know, probably 21, 22 inches. But the frustrating part was, so I got that one on a gulp shrimp, and I brought gulp shrimp and 2 different colors of paddle tails, a white and more of like a brown copper color. And man, I threw all 3 of those for 10 minutes, and I could see 6 or 7 snook from the same school, you know, right about the same size as the one that I caught, but they would not open their mouths. Ended up getting 1 more barracuda that was about the same size, you know, 20, 22 inches, and a little mangrove. So a little bit frustrating that I could see all these snook right under the boat and they wouldn't bite. I was happy that I at least got to catch one.
Yeah. You know, silver lining, right? I know it's frustrating when you see the fish, and at least you got one, you fooled one into eating, and then the other ones got smart or weren't hungry or who the heck knows what happened. But I understand your frustration. I definitely do. So you only had the gulp shrimp. You didn't have anything else. That's really all you had. Do you think you would have thrown, you know, something flashy or something different? You think it would have hit, or there's just no way to tell because they're being pretty pesky?
Yeah, you know, when I've seen little snook schooled up like that in Miami in the winter, I have had luck with actually a rattle trap. I mean, live bait would have been nice, or maybe a spoon to try, but I really wanted to pack light in the kayak. So all I had was, you know, hooks, J hooks, circle hooks, and those paddle tails and gulps. And I don't know, I did have a gulp, not a paddle tail, but like a curly tail. So I threw that as well, with no luck.
Well, you know, normally you can't go wrong with those. You know, I prefer throwing soft plastics myself, especially, you know, in kind of that environment. So I don't blame you. You know where there's at least six pesky snook though, so for next time.
Yeah, it's nice to know. You know, I've caught a couple back in the creek before, but I've never caught one at the mouth. And there was a whole bunch of them, so that's definitely something that I'll have to remember.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Well, I'll kind of hop in and tell part two of my story now, or were you still going on? I can't remember. I know we both fished so darn much. I can't remember where we were.
No, move on. Yeah, that was kind of a quicker. You know, only caught about six fish total, just a quick little morning kayak trip. And then I got another morning kayak trip to talk about. But the longer fishing experience was the South Beach offshore kayaking.
Okay. Yeah, so part of what we did this last time was, you know, anchoring up in the spring and doing, you know, the fishing with shrimp for the mangrove snapper, and then the plug baits for the snook and jacks. But something new we kind of tried this year, just as something fun to do, was more and more dock lights are popping up along the Homosassa River. You know, there's jacks, you know, there's redfish, snook, all about abundant in the river. So my brother, who loves fishing docks like more than anything, I think it's his favorite thing to do, skipping jigs to docks. We did a lot more dock light fishing at night for snook, and we did quite a bit of just skipping docks throughout the day. So my brother lives in North Florida. He doesn't have access to snook. Snook are, I think, probably his favorite fish in the world, but he's lived up in North Florida since for about 20 years now. So the only time he gets to catch them is when he comes and visits. So I did the dutiful guide and younger brother duties of just idling him from dock to dock. So, you know, I said we caught probably 20 snook combined at the spring. I think he probably caught 20 more, just himself casting the docks. And, you know, something that was really, really special for me and for my brother was that doing that technique, my nephew, who's 9, caught his very first snook by himself doing that on a dock light one evening. And then the next day, my brother and him both casted kind of together up to a dock. And at the same time, they both caught a snook, you know, right at the same time. It was my nephew's second snook he's ever caught. So that was a real special moment. So definitely really cool stuff. But, you know, I enjoy throwing the docks, but, you know, the more I do it, I like being able to put folks, you know, close to make that presentation and throw and to catch those fish. It actually brings me more joy than actually doing it myself. So a lot of fun there, and I think we're gonna fish do a little more dock fishing in years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, were they throwing lures or did you say shrimp?
So we would throw the shrimp for snappers up in the spring. This was artificial. So using like the DOA cals, so you know, 1/4 ounce jig head or 3/8 ounce jig head, and then a soft plastic like grub tail, paddle tail sort of thing, and just skipping it up underneath the docks as far as you can, and then working it out. So yeah, very productive. Don't see a lot of people do it there. It's real popular here. I like skipping docks here, you know, fishing around the docks with live bait, with artificials, etc. But I think we're the only people doing that. There was other people trolling motors out in the middle of the river fishing, catching ladyfish, but we're over there throwing these jigs to docks and catching snook. So I don't know. Maybe it'll catch on.
Yeah, well, you know, if they put more docks and more docks with lights, probably likely that it will eventually catch on.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't, because we've always enjoyed it, but this time we really got into it a lot more.
Well, all right, last trip. We went, I guess it was another morning just because they're giving us some half days for the holidays. So I took last Wednesday and I wanted to go back to that spot where I went with our buddy Jimmy up in Boca or Del Rey, where I got the Lake Ida and see if I could really lock in on those striped bass. You know, the last time we were really trying to get the slam, I just wanted to catch stripers. So I bought 6 dozen shiners, which was more than I needed. I think in retrospect, I'll probably go with 4 is the magic number, because the first time we used 3 and ran out. So I think 4 is the magic number. But I got out there and was just, I was trying a couple different things. I had some shiners on the bottom. I was just free drifting some. Sometimes I was anchored. So I was trying to really dial in on what those striped bass wanted. And I think it was in the morning. So I think that's one of the keys, is getting there right at or right before first light, and then just posting up in the middle of the lake and just letting those live baits drift. I said I got that snook with just the 1/0 circle and the 20-pound test. That was my rig from the striper fishing. I was just letting those, not even a split shot, but there wasn't very much wind. So I think the last time there was a lot more wind, it was tougher to fish like that. But this time I got there early, early in the morning before the wind really picked up, and I was able to get in 6 striped bass or hybrid striped bass, one of those clown knife fish, and 1 largemouth. But this was on the tail end of that cold front, so no peacocks. I actually did hear a lot about people finding dead peacocks, but I knew that cold would probably get the stripers really feeding. It sounds like you took advantage of that cold front on the West Coast. I took advantage of the cold front over here on the East Coast.
Yeah, so 6 stripers. How many did you catch last time? I can't remember.
I think I caught 2 and Jimmy caught 1.
Okay, so no, really good. That's awesome. And, I heard also that some of the tropicals down south, tropical fish were having problems with how cold it was. So you didn't personally see any of it? You just heard about it?
Yeah, we were in Jacksonville through the worst of it. So we got back here on the 26th, and it was still cold, but it already started to warm up considerably. I was fishing there, I believe, the morning of the 27th or the 28th. So it was the tail end of the cold couple days, and I did not see any dead or dying peacocks.
Yeah, I didn't see any dead fish here from that either. I know it's been a long time. But when we've had really cold snaps like that, there's been snook mortality from it. Some of the guys I talked to in Homosassa said that some of the little estuary and creeks near the river that weren't getting that warm spring water, that a lot of the smaller fish like pinfish and catfish kind of got cold stunned. So it's we don't have to deal with it that often, but I'm glad that it wasn't too terribly bad. And I'm glad we both were able to take advantage of those cold snaps.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, we are down to 4 minutes left. So before we lead you guys, I want to do one more segment, your best fish of 2022. I know I just told you before we got on the podcast, but I've been thinking of it for a little while. So do you want me to go first, or do you want to take...
You can go first, and then I'll talk about mine.
All right. So my best fish of 2022 was back in July or August, when I got that incredible 20-ish pound bull dolphin that fought me for 15 minutes on 20-pound test. Just one of those fish, I hadn't caught a bull dolphin in years. Just to get it on light tackle, sight casting, really checked a lot of boxes for me, and it was delicious. Just put up an incredible fight. So just a really awesome fish, and my fish of 2022, which again, I'd like to, if we keep doing this podcast, I'd like to do this every year. Cause I was trying to think of my best fish of 2019 and my best fish of 2020 and my best fish of 2021, just when I was thinking of this. And I think a couple of those years when I had big snook and big grouper, it would have been tougher, but I think this year that dolphin easily takes the cake.
Yeah. I remember when you got that dolphin, that was a heck of a fish. I don't blame you a bit for doing that one as yours. I'm going to be kind of cliche and I just talked about it actually. My favorite fish that I caught, I actually didn't catch. So my brother, who I've always looked up to as a better fisherman than me, I don't even, claim to be better. I know he's better. He's way better. He's more intuitive. He's better caster. He's better all around at fishing. That snook he caught, that 38-inch snook, was actually the biggest snook he's ever caught. So to be a part of that, it was really light tackle. He's using 15-pound test main line. I think either 18 or 20-pound leader, to bring in that big girl, and to be able to be a part of that with my whole family on board my boat, his son and my nephew there, it was just a really cool experience. And although I didn't reel it in, I think that was probably my favorite fish of 2022.
Well, it sounded like you ended the year just right.
But yeah, I think that, so.
On that note, I think we're going to call it a night. Please remember to like, subscribe, leave us a nice review. And Tim, you got any closing shots?
No, everyone get out and go fishing in 2023. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.